are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
For this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, it is the New York Knicks podcast, episode 276. I am Jay, and with me is Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Do we really have to record an episode?
We do. We do.
Okay. Knicks lost a bunch of games this week. To answer your questions, yes, they lost, and they're going to keep losing. What did we learn today? The Knicks lost. Anyhow, we'll be back next week. Like us on Facebook.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
And we have technical difficulties.
The Knicks played how many games this week? Three?
Oh, who gives a shit? Okay. My highlight, they lost to... who did they lose to this week? They lost to... I guess we were recording during the Toronto loss last week, so they lost to Dallas, Chicago, Phoenix, and Toronto again. Why not?
It's just reading the schedule.
Yeah, really. Like the Dallas game wasn't that close. Chicago was kind of close, and they lost. Phoenix. My highlight of my week, I actually went to the Phoenix game. My first Knick game of the season. My brother-in-law works for a major cable network that helped me get a really, really nice, good seats. I was like six rows back, which was pretty freaking amazing.
Really?
So that was really, yeah.
I've always wanted to sit that close.
Maybe 10 rows back. It was really, like, it was good enough that I could make out James Dolan, like, not too far away.
Could you, like, hear the players cursing at each other and stuff?
No, I wasn't that close. But I kind of wanted to heckle James Dolan. But I was like, I bet he can get me kicked out really easily, so I'm not going to heckle him because I want to sit in these seats for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything to heckle him about, really, because he gave the control to Phil Jackson. I like that idea, and now it's worked out really well. but we sat really close. The Knicks, they look really bad in person, actually. I got nothing. It was cool to watch them close. They played close to Phoenix. You kind of knew they were eventually going to lose the game. I said before the game, I was like, hey, Knicks are going to play close to the first half and then get blown out by in the middle of the third quarter. Instead, they chose to like blow it at the end of the game instead. Most of the game I was watching, I was like, hey, the Knicks don't look very good here. Why isn't Phoenix winning by more? But Phoenix wasn't playing that great either.
By the time this episode goes up, the Knicks will have won once in the last 30 days.
Is that true? They won one game in December?
Yeah, they beat Boston on the 12th, and then their last win before that was Philly on November 22nd.
How many wins do we have? Do we have five?
Yeah. We have five, but two of those came within the first week of the season.
Right, they were 2-1 at one point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how times have changed. Here's what the biggest thing I noticed from watching them in person, beyond the fact that they seem to chase the ball a little bit, they're always leaving a guy open, blah, 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 and they don't look very fast. And I know like little things like Shane Larkin, I noticed this already that he like runs really fast with the ball, but then they don't know what to do with the ball when he gets near the basket.
Mm-hmm.
But Jason Smith, I hate. I really didn't like hate Jason Smith as much before. Watching him play in person, he is so goddamn useless on the court. I get he can hit a long range two-pointer, but that's all he does in the court. His post moves make Aldridge look like freaking like Akeem the Dream. There's nothing to his game. He doesn't play much defense. You should, as a big man, have some kind of low post game. He doesn't really rebound that much. I don't know why he's on the court. And the only thing he does well is he has no issue with shooting. Like, get in the ball, he'll shoot. Get in the ball. I'm surprised I'm talking about JR. It's everyone named Smith on this team doesn't mind shooting, and we don't want them shooting. He doesn't shoot like a terrible percentage in the year. He shoots like 46% because I had to look it up.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good, except for that's all he does in the court. And it's like, so it's like the, if you go over the true shooting percentage, it's not that high because he doesn't shoot any threes. He doesn't get any fouls on the other team. he doesn't really get any rebounds or blocks or assists or fill up the stat sheet at all. But it's also like most of the time, like he shot pretty poor in the Phoenix game because most of the time, instead of shooting like 12-foot like two-pointers, he shoots like 19-foot two-point shots. He's not a bad shooter, but like you're really going to base your offense on this guy. Like they'd have plays where they'd pass the ball around, really good ball movement, and they'd set up a shot from Jason Smith from like 20 feet out. What's the point? Why even try to have ball movement? Just throw it up right away if that's going to be your shot. And it seems like everyone else on the court is just scared to shoot, and Jason Smith like, give it back to me. I'll do something dumb.
Well, you got to give it to him. He's not shy.
Yeah, he does turnaround jumpers. He does whatever. It's anytime he tried to dribble the ball, once or twice he tried to dribble the ball to the basket, and he like immediately turned the ball over.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of our big men just grab the ball and then drop it.
I mean, first off, what we don't do is ever set our big men up ever for like on like alley oops, or we don't usually set them up in pick and roll. They always basically have to create their own offense almost, which is what you want your big men doing and trying to create their own offense.
Yeah, especially when they're not good at handling the ball.
There was one play where did you watch any of the Phoenix game?
No.
So. I think it was Calderon or Larkin, or maybe it was Pricky. I forget, one of their goddamn point guards tried to set up Travis Ware on an alley-oop, and you almost thought it was going to go in, like Travis Ware was going to throw it down, but at the same time you were like, hey, do you want to do an alley-oop with Travis Ware? Oh, you don't, because it didn't work. he's not like the guy I would think like you really want to throw it up, and like D'Alembert, actually, they made it work once or twice with. I remember they used to always do it with Tyson Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go with Amari, and apparently part of his injury is that they're not allowed to do alley-oops with him anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't understand like why they can't like try to use that in the offense more, but I don't know. It just seemed like Travis Ware looked like mildly surprised that he was being set up for an alley-oop.
I would be surprised if I was Travis Ware and somebody threw me an alley-oop.
I think Travis Ware is surprised every time that the coach is like, I'm not joking. I really want you to go back in the game.
Yeah, he's probably just in a constant state of confusion. The fact that he's on the team, the fact that people are passing the ball,
But like Jason Smith is someone you feel like should have some option at 7 foot tall, be able to like throw it down. He's a guy you should be able to like give a quick alley oop to. I'm playing with a pick and roll. I don't know what the point of having him on the court is. And I've noticed Derek Fisher. I guess I've noticed in games watching on TV, but just noticing in person being like, hey, why is he making these substitutions? What about these substitutes? Why? Like, there's never like a really good reason for the substitutions.
His rotations are very, very strange.
There was some point where the Knicks like had the classic thing where they had like Melo was on the bench, like the stars on the bench, the guys at the bench catch up, tie the game, and actually took the lead. Then he's like, okay, I'll bring everyone back in.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, why not ride the bench a little longer, see how it goes? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean. No terrible team has a good coach. So, and maybe like it'll take maybe after a year of experience, Derek Fisher will be a better coach. Most coaches aren't good to begin with, and they get better with experience. So, I'm hoping Derek Fisher is just learning a lot about what not to do.
Yeah. Maybe he's just like the rotation makes no sense because he's trying to just see who could play with who and like, what positions players play better at. He's probably just totally experimenting right now.
Are you rotating out the microphone for nothing?
Yeah. My wire is like loose. Bear with me one second.
You need a new wire?
I do need a new wire. So those shirts came in. Those Knicks podcast shirts. So you should probably get those.
That'd be awesome.
Go to the Facebook page. I will be updating the NewYorkKnicksPodcast.com tomorrow. With links to get the shirts as well. So check back sometime Monday night.
This was Jay's life mission to get these t-shirts made. So please just hook them up by like buying them. They're not very expensive.
I put in so much effort to get these things.
He's not making much profit on this. So
no,
on, just
I'm
help
not.
Them out.
I'm really not. And if you take in the man hours that it took me to like make this happen, I'm probably losing money.
Yeah, probably. If Jay built his own time, he'd be making like as much as an immigrant worker who picks like grapes,
probably less.
You have any Knicks highlights of the week that you want to discuss before we move into some of our comical bits? And then we go with the questions.
I don't know how I'm going to keep doing these player power rankings because, like, nobody – it's like either they win and they all look good or they lose and everyone looks bad. Nobody's really – there's never a week where some guys are playing good and some guys are playing bad. It's very hard to do these rankings.
There's a week where some guys are playing good?
I mean, that hasn't happened since, like, November, but, yeah, there was.
Oh. Well, we'll all be very interested to hear how you rank how terrible all these guys are. Who's less terrible?
It's getting so hard. It really is.
So five stages of grief. We are up to bargaining. We are going to bargain our way through our insane grief over how terrible this team is.
Right.
So bargain away, Jay.
All right, Knicks. So how about you? You win a couple games, right? And then, what do I bargain? What do I
like? Here's what you do. You like, hey, if the Knicks can turn around and make the playoffs, I'll give the life of my pet cat.
Gotcha.
Maybe you don't have to go to that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the, hey, if you guys, if the Knicks turn it around and make the playoffs or turn it around and have a really good year next year and build on it, I will never say a bad thing about James Dolan again, and I'll go to church more.
All right, but this is the lying section of the...
That's what bargaining is. I guess, yeah, I assume this is a... Yeah, it has to be lying, I guess. here's the example on this website I went to. The normal reaction to feelings of helplessness and vulnerability is often a need to regain control. If only we had sought medical attention sooner. If only we had taken a second opinion from another doctor. If only we had tried to be a better person towards them. Secretly, we may make a deal with God or a higher power in an attempt to postpone the inevitable. This is a weaker line of defense to protect us from the painful reality. So I'll eat my vegetables more if the Knicks can find some guy who can actually play shooting guard, who can shoot and both play defense more than some of the time.
If the Knicks get a good shooting guard, I will make sure that Mark eats his vegetables.
If the Knicks can find a big man who could do like more than one thing, I will become a devout, nice person.
How about if the Knicks get a, they need a position.
I don't know what we're going to do.
This is ridiculous. Let's
not do this. Huh? Let's move on from this. Okay.
Not every bit works out, folks.
Next week we have depression, and then we have acceptance. I don't think the bit might be dying on the five stages of grief.
Yeah.
This team's depressing, acceptance. I guess we've accepted the inevitable. This team sucks.
Look at that. We just moved right to the final stage.
So fast. We'll get to the Rondo trade in a second, but we do have our investigative journalism going on. Jay is interviewing a different player each week to figure out what the hell's wrong with this team. Jay, you want to play the audio?
Yeah, let's go right to that. So, Shumpert, thank you for joining us today.
Hey Jay. I have heard this is the New York Knicks podcast, and I am here to talk. Since I'm injured, I have plenty of time on my hands, so I'm happy to talk to fans.
Good. I'm glad you are able to join us here today. So, I noticed at the beginning of the season you had your shot down. Were you working on your shot in the off season, or what did you do to make your offense?
I was working on my shot during the off season. I was taking like 1,000 jumpers a day. I've been practicing. I've been doing running skills. Make sure my endurance level's up. I've been working on my defensive game also. I thought this would be a great season, and I thought I would remain confident and consistently throughout the season.
And how about the new coach? Are you liking Fisher? Are you liking the triangle?
The triangle. It seems okay. I think I could make it work.
Did you just completely lose confidence on me?
What are you talking about? No, the triangle is a good system. I think it could be an integral. I think it'd be very helpful to the team, and I think it could be a big part of it.
You sound fine again. Okay. So how are you liking your two new teammates? I know you got like 7 or 8 new guys on the team. Jason Smith, Travis Ware.
There's so many new people around. There's so many new people around here. It's I don't know how I'm supposed to play with these people. I don't even know their names. It's kind of scary. I'm a little.
It seems like you got that confidence thing again. Hey, did you just hit me?
Oh, I was reaching for the microphone.
Why would you just reach in like that?
Oh, I was just reaching.
It doesn't make sense to just reach in like that.
I was just
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, my bit is being interrupted by my crying baby.
Okay. Whatever. And pause.
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
We're good?
Yeah, we're good for right the second.
Okay. I think we get the bit. We'll just, you know,
pretend
we did that for another 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the baby crying. Whatever. Knicks suck. Let's move on.
I didn't even hear the baby. But...
We're going to talk about the Rondo trade. I guess it's going to come in like a million questions, right? So do we talk about it separately or do you want to say your quick take on the Rondo trade?
Sure. The quick take on the Rondo trade does Danny Ainge have connections with who's the coach of Dallas?
Worst podcast ever. I thought you were gonna say Cuban, but
No. Because I feel like guys who were on the 86 Celtics seem to
Rick Carlisle.
Carlisle. He had connections to that team, right?
You're just saying basically that they gave away a player to a team for like less than it's worth because they have connections. They know each other well.
Kind of like how McHale gave Danny Ainge Kevin Garnett for not much.
Well, here's the deal. Here's why the Knicks, Lakers, and some other teams probably, maybe the Lakers, I don't know, weren't necessarily ready to like give a lot for Rondo. Why it makes no sense for the Knicks to have traded for Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
He's expiring. So the issue is he could be gone next year. He's a rental.
Right.
If he's going to sign with you in the offseason, maybe he just sign with you anyhow. Why give up assets to get him? You get Rondo, your team suddenly is better, and one of the assets you were hoping to acquire was a high-round draft pick, and suddenly that draft pick goes away.
Right. Yeah, no, that,
not,
that is
even
a good
if it's
point.
Not traded, now it's like a 15th, 16th pick at best versus like a top 5 pick.
Right. I mean, it makes sense from Dallas's point of view because they are now one of the best teams in the NBA, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, but going in, they already had a very good team. They were going all in on the year anyhow, so yeah, you might as well go all in. You don't have that many more years of Dirk to like play around with developing a team.
You know, Rondo's been injured a lot, and he's said to have chemistry issues, so I don't think the market for him was particularly high.
Yeah, I mean, my thought basically is teams like the Knicks, if you're really bad, you probably were like, why trade a lot of assets for a rental? And then the teams that are really good probably there were some issues. Like some of the teams that are really good either have a point guard already or are worried about the chemistry issue.
Unlike the Knicks, there are a lot of teams that are all set in the point guard department.
Right. You'd also think, I mean, he's an all-star level point guard, but you also wonder like, why didn't Dallas have a window to sign Rondo to a long-term deal? Maybe Rondo wasn't up for signing a long-term deal with whoever I traded to. Maybe he wants to experience free agency the way Carmelo wanted to experience free agency.
Maybe he just wants to make a stupid documentary about it.
You want to just jump to questions?
Yeah, sure.
We got a lot of questions.
We got a lot of questions. Let's do emails. Let's see. Did we do the one from Henry? Great show as usual, guys. It's sad that as Knicks fans, the golden days we remember fondly were coming up short against the Rockets of the mid-90s. We read that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We read that one. Okay, we don't have as many as I thought because we read some of those.
I thought we had a lot because I was trying to read every email we've ever received since the show started 4 years ago.
All right, this one's from Lorenzo. Mark. Nerlens Noel. It says it about 20 more times.
Nerlens Noel. Like I'm gonna pronounce. I'm gonna remember. I'm not gonna learn how to pronounce anything. Just go on.
And also,
if, you,
He spelled one of the listeners' names for you, Guillermo.
I'm really bad at pronouncing things. Just if you don't like my pronunciations, you're probably not going to like most of the things we do on the show.
Well, you'll like this one. This one's from Lorenzo. I am a big believer in teaching kids to read and stamping out illiteracy. That's why I support hashtag Team Mark. There you go. You got your Team Mark email.
Yes. And it happened to coincide with a remark about my literacy level, which I believe I'm at least at high school level, but I probably have not been tested. So,
all right. This email is from Frankie. I'm more of a Team Mark and Team J guy. The show isn't the same without both of you on. But if I had
to noticed, I noticed you didn't use any intro this week. Are you back to us being a co-host, not me being your janitorial assistant?
Well, this is the thing. There was a lot of emails for both of us, so I figured it neutralized again.
Okay. I'm cool with being on the same level.
But if I had to choose, I'll say Team Mark, but Mark wouldn't be Mark without Jay, so I'm going to say Team Mark and Jay.
Fair enough. I'm pretty sure a show hosted just by me or just by Jay would probably not be as good.
Yeah. Bruno writes, hey, guys, when will you guys bring Woodson back? LOL, I love him, man. Can't wait for next season. Hope we can get the first round pick for the draft. Keep up the good work, guys. Mark is the real MVP. You got three in a row.
Oh, yeah.
We will bring Woodson back at some point. It would be maybe around the time where the Knicks play the Clippers.
Yeah, it would be nice to have Woodson back. And if Woodson can learn how to do a Derek Fisher impression, we'll have him back sooner.
Ian writes, should the Knicks go after Rondo and Dragic during free agency so we can have an awesome dual point guard starting unit? I'm not sure if you heard, Mark, but Dragic said he would be open to signing with the Knicks.
I did not hear that, but he's been one of the main guys I've been really interested in the Knicks getting. That'd be nice. I am totally down for Dragic coming here. As far as pursuing both of them, I feel like, I don't know how much money we're going to really have.
I think you would have to try and get them both to come for around 12 for that to work, which it's possible.
Do you think a player of Dragic's caliber, when he says I'm open to New York, it's another way of saying I'm open to max money?
I think so. I don't think either of those guys are coming for 12.
Yeah, because I feel like people are like, oh, are you open to joining the Knicks? Are you saying am I open to some team overpaying me? Sure.
I mean, if we could have a Rondo, Dragic, Melo starting lineup,
what's
that
better?
Would be great.
Hey, what's better, actually? Just a Dragic-Rondo backcourt or a Dragic-Bledsoe backcourt?
That's a good question.
Because my whole point here being is that basically what we'll be building is Phoenix plus Melo.
Yeah. I mean,
And it's Phoenix. If you add Melo to Phoenix, are they suddenly a title contender?
Yeah, I would say definitely.
Okay.
I would be open to both of them. When was the last time the Knicks re-signed / extended a player they drafted in the first round?
Oh, tough trivia for us.
That's a really good question, and it's been a really, really long time.
Where is that guy for this one?
I mean, they didn't they extend David Lee?
I was just going to say David Lee, yeah. They must have. He was on the team long enough to have been extended.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody made it past that because his first opportunity for a big contract, they let him walk.
Right. I mean, when's the first time the Knicks have when's the last time the Knicks have had a draft pick stay on the team for like 7 years?
Yeah, I think 4 years is pretty much the limit.
Right, which I think is probably on the lower end of the league for the draft picks.
Probably
most teams have at least one guy they drafted who was on the team for a while.
Yeah, the Knicks are definitely in the top 30 in that category. Number three from Ian, Okafor or Anthony Towns? Who you got?
I don't watch that much college basketball. Everyone says Okafor is the man, so I want to go with him.
Yeah, I don't watch enough college to be able to answer that. Four, can you please
wait? But I have to ask some questions about Okafor and Towns. Maybe you do know the answer to these questions, but maybe you do not know the answer to these questions. Are any of those guys? Do they have a poor work ethic? Are they injury prone? Do they care more about the money than basketball? Because I'm just trying to figure out what guys would be the best fit.
Can this please be the new J.R. Smith theme? Not sure what that's... Okay. Let's see. Michael writes, don't the game against the Bulls prove the Knicks would have been better without re-signing Melo? He's a star, but not one who could win on his own.
What do you think? I mean, the question really is, like, how good can one player make a team? If you look at every other freaking roster, I was watching the Phoenix game, and like, hey, it's not like Phoenix just has Bledsoe and they have Dragic, and they have Isaiah Thomas. But most players in that team, like everyone in that team, is better than anyone the Knicks have. Most of the Knicks roster wouldn't make other rosters in the league.
Right.
You have to have like, even the guys on your bench have to be like somewhat like quality players, and we just have. Like, you can't just sign two of the superstars and, like, have the rest of the roster be a developmental league roster.
I think the question is, if you took another star and swapped him out with Melo, would the Knicks still be 5-25?
Right. Would any roster, any star make much of a difference? LeBron, Durant, maybe Westbrook. Outside of that, I don't know if there's that many other players. I think Anthony Davis, I think, would be better.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, this team is really bad.
Dwight Howard will probably make the team better than Melo's made it because of the defensive aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that many players there. I mean, Melo, we're not saying Melo's the best player in the league, but there aren't that many players that would have, like, you switched Melo out, would have made that big of a difference. So maybe Melo's getting too much shit for the fact that the team is so bad to begin with.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm torn. Some days I think he's a big part of the problem, and then other days I'm like, well, this whole team sucks, so what do you expect?
The basic problem is Melo gets too much shit for what he can't accomplish and what most people cannot accomplish, but he also thinks he deserves too much praise for how great he is. Mm-hmm. And people, too much scorn and too much praise at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're like, he can't like make them a title contender on his own, but he could do more also that he doesn't do.
Right.
Like pass the ball more or really play defense. Defense is really what kills me the more. Forget the iso ball crap. It's really the defensive end, which is where my biggest issue with him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question from Michael. Did Jason Kidd, Copeland, Novak, Kurt Thomas, and Sheed really make that much of a difference? It's amazing how far we have fallen. Tyson last year, JR and Melo all taking huge steps back. Don't make sense.
I mean, part of it also is since we signed Amari, since we brought over Melo, the roster every year is just a patchwork of players. Like, the roster changes by at least half the players every year. At some point, you're not going to put together a good team. At some point, you'll be like, oh, the patchwork thing didn't really work this year.
Well, I saw a piece about Golden State by, I think, Zach Lowe, and a lot of the players were saying that continuity is... What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Breathing into the mic.
Yeah, I'm trying to make like an erotic call to you.
Okay. a lot of the players were saying that continuity was a huge part of their success, and that having the same core together for a few years meant more than like getting new players. And
was this article called the most obvious thing ever?
Yeah, but the Knicks have like 8 new players every season. I think that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the problem. Obviously, continuity helps, and the fact that like they keep doing this patchwork every year, and it's like, the core they've had together are Melo, Amari, JR, basically.
Right.
And that's exactly the core that's going to really build. And that continuity doesn't really... The continuity is not even there because Amari's not even playing half the time.
Exactly, yeah. And then he writes, can we re-sign Shannon Brown or Chris Smith? I mean, at this point, I think Chris Smith would be a fun addition to the team.
He would be tanktastic, and Shannon Brown would probably be a better player than some of the other guys we have here.
Probably. Baron writes, Hey guys, do you think that the injuries the Knicks are having are legit, or is this just an excuse to get a better draft pick?
The only one that can't be an excuse is Bargs, because you think playing Bargs would be more would be what you would do in a tank.
The Knicks always have a lot of injuries. I don't think this is particularly an excuse. I think if they're really trying to tank, they would force Melo to shut down.
Do the Knicks have more injuries than other teams?
Some. I mean, if you look at Minnesota, must have the most injuries in the league. But the Knicks definitely have more injuries than Phoenix, San Antonio, Dallas. I mean, the Knicks are probably in the top five in injuries. But I don't think anybody could beat Minnesota.
Yeah. You know, going back to the other question, as far as the previous rosters, I feel like they always had smart veterans who like had quality careers and weren't as fast. Like a guy like Kenyon Martin, like he still was a very smart player and mm-hmm. a very good player, just wasn't as good as he used to be. Or like Wallace was a very smart player, a kid, obviously. Now the vets on our team are Dalembert.
Right.
It's not exactly like high IQ vets. So that kind of kills it also. Leadership is not really there.
Exactly. Not even IQ, it's just a voice. Like I don't see Dalembert being like a huge locker room voice.
Even Calderon, like is a guy that like he's a vet, but he never really was like and he's a smart vet, but he never was a guy that was ever really a prime starter on any team either.
Yeah, he's been above average his whole career, but he's never been like one of the best.
Right. So we kind of gave away the whole. I mean, the real vet we have on our team is Melo.
Yeah. Who everyone seems to hate. There's more to this email.
Yeah.
Also, the reason I'm not on hashtag Team Mark is because of the time on this pod where Mark went down the list of teams in the East and said that other than Cleveland and Chicago, that the Knicks were just as good, if not better, than the rest of the teams in the East. I kind of like my podcasters to be realistic like Jay. Hashtag Team Jay.
You don't like your fantasy podcast, which is true, utter fantasy. Well, I also say that because of you kind of just like make any prediction you want, and there's no consequences. I'm gonna predict the Knicks will win the rest of their games this year, and they'll win the title. No consequences if I'm wrong. There's never any consequences. No one's ever been fired, or no one's had nothing ever happens to anyone for making dumb predictions.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of was wrong about that.
Stan writes, Melo's got to go. We're losing with without him, so what's the difference? Phil could get a couple high draft picks for Melo even now. And they sent us a link to a New York Post article. And he wrote, P.S., bit of friendly feedback. It breaks up the rhythm of your show when you read out all of the emails. Oops. Perhaps pick out the best of the emails and summarize the rest.
Whatever.
Let us know. Email us and tell us what you think of the emails.
Please email us critiques that we can read in the show. I mean, that's a good point, but the whole point is to read questions people are sending us, however they want to send it, whether email, Twitter, or Facebook.
All right, so now we're on to Twitter, at NYKnicksPodcast on Twitter.
It's also, this is not, I don't know, go on.
David Wu writes, is hashtag Team J a real thing? Because I've been repping that team since day one. Jay is both realistic and brutally honest. Hashtag J over Mark.
Oh, God. Okay, great.
Baron writes, hashtag Team J for life. He isn't the star of the show. He's the superstar of the show.
Fantastic. Okay, go on.
That's it.
Okay. That was our Twitter?
Yeah, that's it for Twitter.
Okay. I thought I asked for questions on Twitter, not just praise for Jay. Facebook. Devin writes, how can someone who listens to the podcast contribute articles to your website? Hashtag Team Jay.
You know what the funniest thing is? They're doing a hashtag Team Jay for Jay Cutler right now, so the R's are getting thrown in with that.
That's wonderful.
I'll just read all of these.
That's hilarious. Jay, how can someone who contributes to the podcast contribute articles to your website? Please let us know, Jay.
You could email the article to thenewyorkknickspodcast@gmail.com, and as long as it's actual legible sentences, we'll post it.
Yeah, basically, if you use English grammar correctly, we'd be happy to post anything. You're welcome to write. You're welcome to write one article for our website. You're welcome to write 40 articles for our website. We appreciate content. We appreciate what people have to say. It's great to have different opinions, different viewpoints. So whether you want to write a game recap, whether you want to write just an article about what you think's wrong with the team, whether you want to write a whole piece about like the 1996 that would just pick another pick a previous Knicks team or your favorite player, whatever you want to write about, you get the idea.
Or you can write an article about stuff that we're terrible with, like purr.
Yes, purr. Yeah. John writes, my family and I think that Aldridge needs to play more. He fills up the paint defensively, can hit some shots, and would easily lead the Knicks in rebounding if he played regularly. Do you agree? Hashtag Team Cole.
Yeah, I'm on Team Cole. Because the more of Team Cole we have, the less of Team Jason Smith we have.
Yes. I mean, he's not great. He's a little slow on defense. He's not the best defender. He brings hustle, gets rebounds. He gets some block shots. He does some things. He tries to make some passes. Has not the greatest inside game, but he looks. He hits some hook shots every once in a while. He's a pretty decent player. I don't understand why our refusal. I guess he's been starting lately, though.
Well, yeah, the last two games he's been starting, but I just don't get the reluctance because Dalembert looks completely washed up.
Yeah, I would right now say 30 minutes from Cole, like 18, like somewhere in like the 30 range for him and somewhere near the 20 range for Dalembert and see how it goes.
How did we get Dalembert 7 minutes before he became washed up?
I don't think we got him 7 minutes before he got washed up. I think we got him like after he's been washed up. You think he looked that good for Dallas last year?
No, but I thought he looked good for the first like six games of the season. Remember we were saying how he was like passing out of the post and hitting a couple jumpers.
I think this is what his career has been. I think he's this guy that has potential, looks good for spurts, and then just sucks. That's why he's been on like 12 different teams.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks like he'll get it together. He's like the J.R. Smith of centers.
The Anthony Randolph of Anthony Randolph's.
Yeah. So he's like, he's one of those guys like in fantasy, everyone's like always thinks this is the year Dalembert's going to break out. It's not the year. It's never going to be the year.
Yeah, he's also 33, so he's definitely, that's it. He's not breaking out.
Cole was a high draft pick. He's never going to be your all-star center, but and he's probably a pretty decent backup center, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I don't see, based on what we have in this team, I don't know why he doesn't start and play like big minutes. Grant responded to that. How come Team Cole has more followers than Team Mark? and George responded, come on, let's be fair. He posted a picture of Go Team Mark, and it's Nate Robinson holding up pom-poms.
That's fine, because we got a message of Go Team Jay with a sexy lady holding up a sign.
Damn it. Rosario writes, WTF, I posted a comment and mentioned InfoWars, and the picture of them and Link popped up and posted itself, not cool, Facebook.
I don't know what that means.
Rosario also writes, and hashtag Team Mark. Sorry, Jay, it's just Mark. Took it like a champ during the infamous strap-on Mandingo era.
That was the whole era of the show.
You know what? Rosario had commented here. I read on Infowars.com that Phil, who put this team together, knew this would happen and will come out laughing with number one draft pick like Brad Pitt did with the money in Ocean's 11 casino heist movie. Did Phil really see this coming? All those rings, all those years in the NBA, I refuse to think he did not see this coming. And here was the Alex Jones, Infowars.com. So basically he said he didn't really actually want to post Infowars.com. He just wanted to make a joke because on our Brink show, Jay talks about Infowars a lot, which is a conspiracy website, which Jay thinks is hilarious. And a lot of other people think is real.
And the Brink Show is The Brink of Sanity, which is our comedy podcast.
Right. Rosario also writes, Fisher sucks deep as a coach. I don't want to see him next year, and I don't want to gamble with him. Hell no.
I would say give it a little more time just because Kidd was really bad last year, and he's got this terrible Milwaukee team above 500 still.
Yeah, I think it's too soon to write off a guy who's has a bad roster and has only coached for like 25 games.
Yeah.
And he's making $5 million a year on a first of a five-year, $25 million deal. There's no way he's getting fired anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd have to basically the team would have to be awful next year for him to get fired. Also, Rosario writes, dude, the way the damn Knicks tank is damn art form. Greg writes, Knicks would be the 2018 champion, but the interview needs to be available to humanity. Yay or nay?
What was that?
I don't know why he said the Knicks would be the 2018 champion. Not sure what that means, but the interview, the remember that movie that came out or didn't come out?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
North Korea.
Yeah.
And he's asking not a Knicks related question, but should Sony Pictures have bowed to the demands of North Korea? Why don't we cover this on break?
Yeah.
George writes, Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley were discussing the triangle and how the players on the roster don't fit. Barkley thinks that with today's day and age, the triangle can't be played. Your thoughts?
I don't think it can't be played. I just think you really need specific circumstances for it to be able to play, and we don't have the roster for it.
Here's the question, really. Should you tailor your system to your roster, or should you tailor your roster, or just tailor your roster to a system, I guess? Wait, did I say that twice? Basically, should you basically be unwavering about your system, or should you use the system based on your roster?
I think you could be flexible with your system. I just don't think that they've never had a system, so I think they're just trying to actually have a system now.
Not actually true. D'Antoni had a system.
What was his system?
Shoot really fast, a lot of three-pointers. He had a system on offense.
Yeah, but he was another guy who didn't have the...
Our issue was that part of the issue was like he was just like, I'm going to do this system no matter what, even if we don't have the roster for it.
Yeah, D'Antoni was like, oh, play like the 96 Suns.
Yeah, and then he flamed out with the Lakers also. He was like, Pau Gasol, you can't use him because he can't shoot threes. And Pau Gasol's like, I'm useful if you're not a jackass coach.
He's having his best season in like 7 years right now. I don't know if you've looked.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. That's the question, I guess, here is the triangle really that much of a superior system? Or is it only a superior system when you have Kobe and Shaq or have Jordan? And is it really worth the roster? Clearly isn't meant for the triangle. And half these players are going to be gone anyhow, but forgetting that part of it, is it really worth forcing the triangle on a team when it's not going to make them that much better?
Well, I think that's the thing. You get the system in place now because you know most of the roster is not going to be there. So at least you have the system, and the few players who are going to be there know the system instead of, you know, trying to get players for that system next year and not having, like, Melo and a couple other players know it.
Right. I guess that – but, like, is it – here's the thing. Is this system really so superior that every? Why is every other team not running the system if it's so great?
Every coach has their own theory on what's a great system. It's that's the system that Phil knows, and he's going to implement it. I mean, it's got to be system.
Yeah, I mean, we brought Phil here, and we knew he was going to, and I don't have an issue with it. It just
they have to have a system, you know. There's other systems that work, but that's not the one he knows, but it can work. But I mean, they need to have a system. They don't have a system.
My problem with this thing, problem really is, why is this so goddamn hard for the team to implement?
Because they have a bunch of idiots.
I don't understand why the guys can't be like, we get the basic point of the triangle, let's just do it. Like three guys on one side, two guys on the other side, you pass the ball a lot, and you try to do a lot of cutting. There you go.
I don't know. I don't get it. It seems like everyone's pushing back on this because they all just want to do iso ball and run around like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying if I was out there, I'd be able to do it myself, but these guys are NBA players. Jesse writes, how many games do you think the Knicks will win this year? Jay?
I think the Knicks will win...
Here's a better question 22. Before you even answer this. In honor of the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, are there going to be more days in Hanukkah or more Knicks victories this year?
I'm going to say there's seven in Hanukkah.
Eight.
Eight. I'm going to say more. I'm going to say 22.
Wow. Where do you think they're going to get to 22? You're going to say the rest of the way? That's a tough they have to win 17 more games this year.
They have to go 17 and 37? 17?
That would be a remarkable improvement. Only winning every third night.
You know why I
Instead
say that?
Winning every 30 nights.
You know why I say that? That's why? What they have to do to not finish with the worst record in Knicks history. 21 wins was the worst ever.
The thing is, they're playing a lot of close games, and eventually close games do go your way.
Yeah, that's what Minnesota kept saying last season.
Yeah, they're supposedly going to go your way. Enough of them are supposed to go your way. This is... Yeah, I'm going to pick, at this point, 15 victories. That's how bad I think this team is.
So you're going to say they're going to finish 6 games worse than the worst team in Knicks history.
So basically what I'm saying is 2 months ago I said this team is as good as anyone there in the East besides Cleveland and Chicago, and now I'm saying they are 7 games worse than the worst team in the history of the NBA, of the Knicks. That's where I am now. Oh, how things have changed.
Yeah.
Tori writes, can you imagine how great our record would be if we actually closed out games in the final 2 minutes? Too bad that's a wet dream. George responds, did you see the Bulls game? Fisher should have put Stat back in the game. Should have put Stat back in. He left him out too long.
It's almost like if you don't run plays, then things fall apart at the end.
First of all, if the Knicks played better in... can you imagine how great the record would be if we actually closed out games? A better way of phrasing that question, can you imagine how mediocre this team would be, which would be an improvement, if we actually closed out games? we're way under mediocre, so.
Yeah.
Rob writes, are the Knicks actually in danger of having the 76ers outperform them this season? Consensus is that the Celtics are worse without Rondo. Can the Knicks catch them? At this point in the season, I am not too bothered that I didn't get tickets to see the Knicks in London. When they visit, they might actually lose to the Bucks. That's a lie. I want to go. Can you get me tickets? And I'll be in your UK correspondent. Well, Rob, lucky for you, we have 2 tickets waiting for you at the stadium. Make sure to show up and tell them Jay and Mark sent you. I don't know. Danger. I don't think this. I think the Sixers will be worse this year.
Yeah, Celtics, the Sixers are definitely going to be worse this year.
Celtics, I don't know. I think the Knicks are better than the Celtics right now, but I don't know if the record's going to be worse.
Yeah, the Celtics still have some players. It's going to be close.
Sean writes, all I want for Christmas is to be cryogenically frozen and to be woken next September, just in time for preseason. Can anyone refer someone there? Well, Sean, lucky for you, just show up at the place where Walt Disney's head is cryogenically frozen and tell him Jay and Mark sent you.
We have hookups everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just Greg go to the cryogenic center.
Greg writes, how upset are you that Rondo is now a Maverick?
Well, I'm not too upset because he's still a free agent after the season, so the Knicks could still get him. Plus, that means Dallas might be able to bump off the Clippers, and I don't like the Clippers.
Yeah, I am kind of totally... You just hate every team Woodson's on?
Pretty much. I mean, I've always been a Dirk fan, so I think it's good that he actually got some help now.
I'm not like a huge Dallas person, but I kind of enjoyed watching them beat the Heat a couple years back, so... I wouldn't mind seeing them be good now.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's not in the East, I don't really mind. And I really think you add Rondo to the Knicks right now, yeah, they're better. Are they making a real run? They have a long way to go just to get back to 500. So,
you realize if they won 19 in a row, they'd be under 500?
They're like, yeah, they win 19 in a row and they're fighting for the 8th seed. So that's basically... I'd rather not interfere with our draft pick at this point, I guess. Greg also writes, do the Knicks still exist? Would you rather watch the movie The Interview or a Knicks game?
The Interview. I'm curious about that movie now.
So basically, would you rather watch a mediocre comedy or The Interview?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know which one's worse to watch. Greg writes, you guys have an exclusive interview with Mello on his reactions about Rondo going to Dallas. Where's Woody? Again, we miss Woody interviews. Is naming your fantasy team Woody's Doghouse a good idea?
We're getting a lot of Woody love this episode.
Yeah, Woody. Maybe we should have him back sooner. Especially if you could do it with Derek Fisher in Russian. What's your react? What do you think Mello's reaction? Should we do it?
No, let's not. We'll save that. We don't want to use all our interviews in one episode.
Yeah, we have more investigative journalism to do. Is naming your fantasy team Woody's Doghouse a good idea?
Can't be worse than naming them Dolan's Shady Deals like I did.
On our Facebook page, someone posted, Ricky wrote, just throw the bank at Gasol and Durant, then Phil will all of a sudden want to coach again. Boom. Threepeat. about that, because the NBA has limits, you can only throw so much bank at Gasol and Durant. If you didn't have a salary cap, we might actually get them, because then you would be like, hey, Gasol and Durant, how's $30 million each go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of in the realm of possibility if that that new TV deal raises the salaries so much.
But still, every other team can do it also, so it's not going to be.
Yeah, but the Knicks are in New York, and everyone wants to play in New York. That's why we've gotten zero big free agents ever.
Do you think if there was no salary cap, Dolan would actually go in on like insane deals for guys?
Oh, yeah.
Like LeBron, who'd been like, oh, Miami offered me a pretty good deal at 20, but Dolan offered me 100 a year, so I'm going to go to New York now.
Yeah, we would probably do it for like third level guys. They'd be like, oh, we just offered $75 million for DeMar DeRozan.
Well, when you clear that much cap space, you have to go with choice 17 if it comes to that.
Yeah, you definitely can't wait the next year for the next batch of free agents. You got to spend it all that year immediately.
So that's a question. If the Knicks whiff on Gasol, whiff on Rondo, whiff on Dragic, whiff on some of the major five free agents, do we have to sign that number six guy?
You know they're gonna.
Like if it's I don't know who that guy would be off the top of my head, but it's gonna be someone who's not that great who were to overpay a max deal for no good goddamn reason.
Look, it's gonna be Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay, welcome to the Knicks next year.
I mean, look, he gets paid way too much. He plays the same position as Melo.
Loves ISO.
Loves ISO. There you go.
Rudy Gay, you're the next Nick. and people will be like, why do we sign this guy for 38 years? It'll always be about, as soon as we get the Rudy Gay contract off the books, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Lewis writes, are you concerned that the Knicks podcast can possibly replace the Brink of Sanity as your comedy podcast?
That's a very good
one, Lewis. Tori writes, Dragic said that he would be open to signing with the Knicks in the summer. What do you think about that? And also, would it be better if D-Fish moved over to assistant coach and Phil coached? That way the players will respond better to Phil.
At this point, you want Fisher coaching because tank.
Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah, it would be better if Phil coached his team. I think we're all in consensus on this.
Mm-hmm.
But is it going to happen? Probably not, but maybe. Do you think Phil's plan has been basically to take this huge deal, construct a roster that's so bad that hurts the value of MSG stock enough that Dolan decides to sell the team?
That would be the most amazing long con ever.
Yeah, so the best part of this, Knicks are horrendous. MSG stock up for the last 3 months.
Yeah. Dolan is richer than ever.
Dolan's like, touche, Dolan. You can't see. I am evil. Michael writes, he's richer than ever, and the team's horrendous. Michael writes, I don't want Dragic look at his stats and overhyped sixth man with one good season under his belt where he still averaged under six assists. Look at him this year. If Phil considers that an impact signing, I'll lose faith in him. Interesting. Dragic has been the guy I've been outside of Gasol, he's my main target. Let's do the research.
He's been off this season, but I still want him.
Maybe we'll get him on a better deal. He'll be like, I'll do a max deal. You're supposed to lower your money. It's the Knicks, right? Yeah. I'll do a max deal. let's just check out his stats a little bit. He's only averaging 16 points a game. He's shooting about 50%. So it's not off that much. He's just shooting a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
His 3-point shooting's down a little bit. He's getting some free throws. He's not getting the line. He's getting the line a lot less than last year, which hurts his game. His assist numbers are down. I think part of it is, like, you have a lot of the thing that Phoenix has is a lot of guys that are similar. Like, they got Bledsoe, they got Isaiah Thomas, they got a lot of guys who are like these in between guards.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think that whole getting Thomas, I think, was not the best move.
I don't think it was a bad move. I think he's a pretty good scorer.
I do, too. I just feel like he's redundant with Thomas and Dragic. I feel like they would have been better off getting, like, a better, big man or something like that.
Well, I think they got him on a pretty good deal. I would say, basically, but they're like guys that can play together. It's not like Melo and Amari, which have trouble playing together. I feel like these guys can actually play together. You can go like one of the guys that's small forward.
Right.
I don't know, whatever. You ever hear the term first world problems?
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns, they have three multi-talented guards. First world problems.
Exactly.
Knicks, we have three guards that really can't play the position. Knickland problems. Imadog writes, Dragic played in the world tournament and had some problems with his back. I would give him JR's contract in a heartbeat. I don't think that's a choice. He's not coming for JR's contract. George writes, Dragic is a great player, would be a great fit, as well as a point guard like that I would create and make other players move. Also a hell of a shooter. He can definitely help Melo all the way. He needs a blue collar worker, and they will be on their way. I think Dragic's still a very good piece.
Yeah, I do too. I would love to have Dragic on the team.
Is he the best point guard in the league? Is he going to be overpaid? Not the best point guard, going to be overpaid, but still worth getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
George writes, any trade speculations?
Surprisingly, not yet. I am amazed that there hasn't been rumors flying around everywhere. You know, that's the other thing I got to give credit to Phil for. He keeps a pretty tight ship on the rumor mill.
Yeah. It's also, the Knicks don't have a lot of guys that people really want.
That doesn't matter. Remember last year, the Knicks had nobody people wanted, and there was still rumors every 5 minutes.
Yeah, all great trade speculation. You think Oklahoma would trade Durant for Amari? Let's speculate.
Yeah.
George writes, Rosario writes, look, I'm a regular guy, okay? I don't need much. If you wake up in the next day still breathing and I'm fine, but I'm in a all-time low point in my Knicks fandom career. He also writes, and people stop posting long-ass comments. Keep it short. So now people are complaining about the emails and the Facebook comments.
All right, well, the next step, I guess, is complaining about our words, and then we have no show.
we don't like your interviews sound nothing like the real players.
You guys should just spend the holiday going to, like, professional voice coaches.
So have you ever thought about getting real players in the show and doing real interviews? Have you ever thought about having, like, real insights on the team and doing investigative journalism? Real investigative journalism? Why you guys go to a press conference and ask questions at a press conference?
Why don't you just go into the locker room after the games and talk to the players? Seems so simple.
Have you guys thought about doing something on the TV?
Okay, why don't you guys just have, after the Grantland hour, why don't you just have the Mark and Jay hour?
Hey, you know that Serial podcast that, like, the all-time popular podcast ever? Why don't you do your own version about the Knicks and make that really popular? It would kind of work, basically, an investigative podcast about who killed the Knicks season.
Yeah.
Each episode focusing on, did Phil purposely kill them? Did is Melo killing them? Okay, is it Guillaume? What is it?
Guillaume. Didn't you read the phonetics email we got?
I did not. But it's G-U-I-L. It's Guillaume?
Yeah, Guillaume.
Okay, Guillaume. The other day I was playing with ESPN Trade Machine, as we all do, and I was trying to find a good team who could use Amari. Thing would be to get one or various expiring contracts and a pick for him. That makes sense. You want to find a team with expiring contracts you could swap for Amari, but they would actually want to use Amari and get a draft pick. I didn't find any team with contracts to match, not to mention expiring. And it made me think, why did the Knicks pay that kind of money for star players? There are some in that region too, like Howard, CP3, or Kobe, but they are few and the only ones on their team. Example, Curry is making 10, Harden 15, Parker 12.5, Gasol 16, Horford 12.
Dirk 8.
Oh, whatever. So your point is, did the Knicks screw up when they overpaid for their fifth choice in Amari?
The Knicks feel like they have to use all their money every season. I don't get it.
Really? We've talked to death the whole Amari signing already and how they were paid him. It's really question is, will the Knicks make the same mistake going forward if they don't get their number one or number two choice?
Absolutely.
That's Dolan. You think Phil Jackson would?
Yeah, I don't think it would be on a wasted player, but I do think he's still going to spend all their money, even if we don't get our first like four choices.
Yeah. My favorite thing, though, is like the New York media will always do, and this is about, like, I'm a big Met fan, and the Mets offseason has been lackluster at best, but the team seems like it's getting better, and people are like, well, they still have to make a trade just show everyone they're serious. And you're like, well, not if it's a dumb trade.
Yeah, that's not something you do just to, like, justify yourself.
Not to go like, oh, you know what, I'll do it so the New York media has more to write about.
Yeah.
Tristan writes, what's the most memorable thing by the MSG fans you can remember? Other than cheering for MJ, LBJ, for putting up big games, one that stands out was a few years ago when fans chanted for Rashid to get into the game during a blowout. Rob writes, man, I loved Sheed.
I remember that game. That was great. He was laughing.
Well, that was part of like the Knicks. We didn't realize how amazing we had it for that season.
Yeah.
Was that the Miami game where they were chanting for him? Game one of the season?
I don't remember what game it was.
So what's a memorable thing that the MSG fans have done for you, Jay?
Still showing up to games after all this time. How much they hated Reggie Miller. I was always on board with that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I enjoy the fact that, like, when the team has hope, the place is an amazing place to watch a game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Amari first got signed and people started thinking the team would be good. I went to a game. I think they played Toronto. It was a tight game. The Knicks won on a last-second shot. And the place just went insane, especially at the end of the game. It was just awesome watching the game there. So, in general, it's a great place to watch a game.
It's a great place to watch the game, and the fans are smart. They know if guys are like not doing what they're supposed to be doing, like not grabbing boards or something. I don't feel like every stadium's like that.
I don't go to enough other stadiums to really know, but I agree. The fans seem smart.
Mm-hmm.
Rosario writes, Sixers versus Knicks, the race for the lottery, SMFH. Shaking my feather-like head. I'm a dog writes, what steps will it take to compete with the Sixers? How can we get much worse? I'm a dog has the idea. How do we get worse than the Sixers?
You
might
as
well
take
it down. All the way.
Melo's got to fix that knee. I'm very concerned about his knee going forward.
Yes, Bargs, even if he's not 100%, he's got to play.
Yeah, his knee is rested enough. Melo's is not rested enough.
I have to think Bargs and Jason Smith get called the Twin Towers, and we go with them. what else? Big minutes for Shane Larkin, 40 minutes a game.
We got to just play all the young players.
We call D-leaguers. Give them a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that might work out in our against our favor.
By January, I want our starting lineup to be Larkin, Hardaway, Early, Bargs, and Cole.
JR, hey, no curfew for you, dude.
In fact, here's the corporate card. Ring up a tab at the bar. Go nuts.
Hey, I'm not JR, not to screw with your night, but you have to go to Marquee tonight. and you're playing 48 tomorrow. Anthony writes, yes, why the hell do we keep coming back?
That's part of being a Knicks fan. We have like a big support group.
Yeah. You think? Here's a question. If you're a Sixers fan right now, well, Sixers have been tanking on purpose for a long time, so maybe they're not a great example. What's another really bad team out there? Detroit. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Detroit fans are dispassionate about a team that's this bad?
No.
Like, they've been so long, and the fans still give a shit?
No, I really don't.
I have to say, we have the best terrible team fans. Like, to have a terrible team, to have fans this into it, basically.
Yeah.
What did we learn today, Jay?
We learned that sometimes our bits are not comedy gold.
You freaking lie, Jay.
We learned that Team Jay is about to blow up because it's getting mixed up with Team Jay Cutler.
Yes. Why is anyone supporting Team Jay Cutler? How good is Cutler? Like, Cutler sucked for Bears this year. We learned that people are so passionate about the Knicks, now they're asking questions about North Korean-related movies.
That's all we learned, right?
I don't know. We learned that Dragic, some of our fans don't think we should go get him. We have controversy about our possible... Seekers. There's no way Gasol's signing here, right?
No.
No way. What about a... what's his name? Asik. Should Asik be like our next?
I'd be fine with that as long as we got a better point guard.
Actually, here's a guy, a center, defensive oriented center, supposed to be a good team player, helps chemistry, and is very good in the pick and roll. Do you think we should bring back Chandler?
You would have to get a whole nother supporting cast. Chandler's not going to cover for five guys every night.
So obviously it's too early to judge any trade, but do you think the Chandler trade, does it look pretty bad for Phil right now, or does it really matter?
No, I don't think it does, because Chandler was obviously going to be playing better in a different situation, and plus he was also injured last year.
Yeah.
Calderon is playing worse, but it's early. We knew Dallenbert wasn't going to do anything, and I think Larkin's been maybe even better than we thought. So I think it's about what we thought it was going to be.
And speaking of early, we still have him, so he could actually develop into a good player. He would not have had Clay Anthony.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come back soon.
Chandler would not have stayed. And first of all, Chandler would be the first guy to protest our tanking philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like us on Facebook, buy a t-shirt. How do they buy a t-shirt, Jay? Remind them.
You go to the Facebook page, the information's on there. It is including shipping, $18. You could go to PayPal, and my PayPal address is chkenparm@hotmail.com. And just put in the comment section, write what size and what color, because we have them in black and blue, and we have all sizes.
Say you're a fan of both the Knicks show and the Brink show. What special deal is being offered?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. An extra $5 will get you a Brink of Sanity shirt.
So $23, you get two T-shirts.
Including shipping.
Domestic. Yeah. You're clothing people for a pretty reasonable rate, and they get to advertise their love of the Knicks and Brink.
That's a pretty amazing deal.
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable. Okay.
And breaking news, if you are all on Team Tank, which I am, the Sixers just won today.
Wow. Who did they beat?
The Magic.
Wow, that is Magic.
So the Knicks are only one game out of the worst record in the NBA.
You think the Sixers are? They've won like what, two games in December, right?
Yeah, they've won more in December than the Knicks have. Or did they win three in December?
Holy cow! How did they pull that off? Maybe one day we'll be as good as the Sixers.
Just doing a little quick research. The Sixers won three games in December to the Knicks one.
Three times as many games. Wow, this has been an amazing season.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.
This is the end.